ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
He's going to teach us all truth. And look at what was ahead. When Jesus died and rose that third day and God sent the Holy Spirit, we have the whole New Testament written, don't we? Yeah, was the Old Testament inspired by the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. But look at what we have. Paul's, some of the mysteries that were unknown or not revealed to us in the Old Testament have been given to us. The church, the rapture. In John 14:26, Jesus said, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Isn't that interesting? It's going to bring to remembrance. John 16:13, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and will tell you things to come." So the Holy Spirit is going to remind these men who are going to write the scriptures the things that Jesus taught. Well, what about Paul? Well, remember, Jesus himself taught Paul. So we have the four Gospels, though. Right? And then the Holy Spirit would guide them in all truth again, the epistles or letters. And the things to come, what is that? Well, that's the book of Revelation. Revelation takes a lot of what's in the Old Testament and puts it, and some of the New Testament, puts it all in one book for us to understand the last day's events. He speaks the truth. And he speaks in accordance with God the Father and God the Son. They all work together in harmony. And how did he teach them? Well, through revelation, revealing divine truth. And sometimes, yes, we see in the Old Testament, angels, dreams, visions, prophets. But the greatest revelation, do you know where that came from? Jesus Christ. Remember what Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. What was Jesus called before the incarnation? He was called the Word. And what do we have in front of us is the Word of God. Yet God spoke in many different ways in the past, but in these last days, he's speaking to us through Jesus Christ. And what the Holy Spirit is doing is sharing these things with these men as they wrote these words down. We also see inspiration. Again, the Word of God is accurate, infallible, and we can trust it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And word inspiration means God breathed. You know, God breathed life into Adam, right? And he breathed life into the scriptures. We're told that the scriptures are living and powerful in Hebrews, able to transform our lives. I truly believe that. These are not just empty words. There's power behind them. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is opening them up to us. And when the word of God was complete, it was without error in the original manuscripts. Absolutely. And think about it. I mean, 66 books written by some 40 different authors over like 1500 to 1600 year period of time, 3 different continents, 3 different languages. And what is it about? It's about one story: God's redemption of sinful man. How can it be? How can they all write about the same thing? There are so many different writers, so many different writing styles. Because the Holy Spirit. I mean, if I sat 5 people down and told them to write on one controversial subject, you probably have 5 different opinions. But these are not the opinions of different writers. This is the Word of God. From the Old Testament, promise of the coming Messiah to the New Testament and the coming of the Messiah, they fit perfectly, don't they? I mean, what is the Old Testament close with? The calling, really, of John the Baptist, who's going to prepare people for the coming of the Messiah. And for 400 years, God's silent until this man comes on the scene to proclaim the coming Messiah, to prepare the people. It's an amazing book we have in our hands. And I think because we have access to it, and there's so many different ways we can read it or listen to it, we don't think it's that important anymore. But I've seen pictures of Christians in China getting a Bible, and they are holding it with their dear life because it is so precious to them. Sometimes they'd only have one Bible, and they'd cut it up and hand pieces so they could read parts of the Bible. This should be precious to us. Why? Because God is speaking to us. This is his love letter to us. Now imagine you were in a war. Your wife is here in the States, and she sends you letters. What are you going to do? I don't have time today to read anything about it. I pretty much, you're going to read that letter probably every day until you get a new one, right? Because it's that important. This should be that important to us, guys. Gissler and Nix, in their general introduction to the Bible, put it like this. In Genesis, you have paradise lost, and in Revelation, you have paradise regained. They wrote, or you can't understand Revelation without Genesis, and you can't understand Genesis without Revelation. It's all woven together so intricately, it's like a beautiful tapestry. It actually becomes one book with 66 chapters, one unfolding story from beginning to end. Absolutely. F.F. Bruce put it like this. He said, no part of the human body can be properly explained outside the context of the whole body. So no part of the Bible can be properly explained or understood outside the context of the Bible as a whole. That's why I don't understand. How do you, do just topical studies? Can you learn from topical studies? You absolutely can. But how many of you, when you read a book, go to, well, I'm going to start in page, let's see, 13, let's jump over to page 442, and just read portions from different parts of the book. You don't do that. Where do you start? You start in the beginning, and you work your way all the way through. And that's what we do. We go verse by verse through the Bible. And I realize it's not something that's done very often today, but how do you understand the Bible except by reading the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation? I think that's important. There's also the illumination. The Holy Spirit gives us understanding, and this is really for us today. He helps us to understand what the Bible is all about. We can't fully understand this on our own. I think it's important as a nation and in this world that we get back to the truths of God found in the Word of God, opened up to us by the Spirit of God, because he's the Spirit of truth. And he's not going to speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And it's real simple. When the Holy Spirit speaks, everything that he says and does will be consistent with what Jesus has already said and done. There have been people that have said things, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. And it's the most wackiest thing, and it's not anywhere in the scriptures. In fact, it's contrary to the scriptures. Did they hear from the Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not going to contradict something that Jesus has said. So they're not listening to the right spirit. Not the Spirit of God. There are demonic spirits out there. We need to be careful. God is not going to contradict himself. And yes, Jesus is going away but man, he's sending us the Spirit, the Helper, who's going to help continue on this earthly ministry. And I love this last point in John 16:13. He says, he will tell you things to come. That's prophecy, isn't it? The Bible is like 27%, maybe a little bit more, prophetic in nature. And there are people that don't want anything to do with prophecy. And I think that's sad. We have to be vigilant, looking out for, watching for the return of Jesus. Why? What did Paul say? Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wants us to be watching for what? The Lord's return. Because it can happen at any moment. Our hope is not in this world, not in this government. It's in Jesus Christ and his return. Does that mean we just give up and let everything, you know, go down the toilet? Absolutely not. What did Jesus say? So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, right? You're to shine. We're lighthouses, like, right? Can you imagine in a big storm and the lighthouse says, hey, I'm going to turn off my light. It's really nasty out there. And it's all going down the toilet anyway, so what's the use? Why should I shine? Because there's people that will die if you don't. And what I mean die not knowing the Lord. It's not time to turn off our lights. It's time for us to shine brightly, to stand up for things. What do you think the preserving force in this world is today? It's the Holy Spirit working through the church. When the church is removed, you can look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Then the man of sin is revealed. Then all hell breaks loose on earth. Why? Because there's no restraining force. The church working through, or the Holy Spirit working through the church. We should be looking for the Lord's return. And I realize, again, this is not something that churches like to teach about. But I'll just share this with you from John, or from Mark chapter 13, verses 32 through 37. Jesus said, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It's like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. So who is Jesus telling this to? You don't even have to know Greek on this one. I say to all, watch. Everyone, every Christian should be watching for the Lord's return. People have said, well, you're so heavenly minded, you can't be earthly good. I've heard people tell me that. Like, that is the most ridiculous thing in the world. Show me. I cannot be any earthly good until I'm heavenly minded. Set my mind on the things above, not on the things below. Why? So he can guide me in the things that I need to do. Watch. I mean, and you look at the signs, and the biggest one for me is Israel being back in the land of Israel, or the Jews being back in the land of Israel, I should say. But there's so many signs out there today, as we saw with our prophecy update a few weeks ago. And this is just not be vigilant. Prophecy gives us validation. It means showing something is real, something is correct. God has told us of these things that they're going to happen to show us his word is real. We could trust what he has said. He's told us the beginning from the end. You know, I showed you the pictures of from the European games that in their opening ceremonies, they had this huge beast and a woman riding the beast. And all the people are bowing down. And then there was this tower. I'm thinking Tower of Babel, too. You go, where did you get this from? You know, do you guys read the scriptures and go, well, yeah, there's a woman who rides a beast here in Revelation. We better make that. Are you kidding? These people are doing their own thing. They think they're promoting what they want. But God has told us these things are going to happen. And it should encourage us. We can trust the scriptures. We don't have to be fearful of the days we're living in. Why? Well, like the disciples of Jesus' day, he sent us the Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth. If I know what's going to happen beforehand, I feel much better than being surprised. Don't you? Okay, we've been warned. Okay, we see these things coming. I know where I'm going, but there's a lot of people out there I don't know where they're going, and they need Jesus. Do you see how that changes my perspective of things? It's not about me anymore. It's about the lost. It's not about my rights. It's about the lost. Make no mistake about it. Prophecy validates that the Bible is truly the Word of God. There is no doubt. No other religious book has anything like the Bible does. So the Holy Spirit teaches us the truth. And lastly, this is interesting. The last point is The Holy Spirit's going to glorify Jesus. Look at verse 14 here in John chapter 16. Jesus said, "He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." I think it's pretty clear, right? What is the Holy Spirit going to do? Reveal Jesus. But again, like in the ultra-charismatic movement, they make the Holy Spirit the center of attention and Jesus kind of in the background. No, the whole ministry of the Holy Spirit is revealing Jesus to us. In John 15, 26, where Jesus said regarding the Holy Spirit, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me," not of himself. And make no mistake about it, the Holy Spirit gives many different gifts that assist us in the work that we're to do, but the Holy Spirit never wants those gifts to glorify him, but to glorify Jesus. One person said, "By this we can test all teaching and preaching. If it has the effect of magnifying the Savior, then it is of the Holy Spirit." Yeah. Think about this. Maybe you don't agree with me on this, but think about this. When we are out and sharing Jesus with people, do we glorify ourselves? You know, "I can do this, and I've done this, and you know, God's using me here, and I'm doing this, and I've got all, look at my resume, look at all this stuff." No, we don't do that. I hope not. What do? We glorify Jesus, just like the Holy Spirit is doing. We share the Word of God, which is inspired by the Spirit of God, with people that they may come to know the Word of God, Jesus. One author summed it up like this. He said, "It is Christ's glory revealed on the pages of Scripture that the Holy Spirit uses to mold believers into the image of Jesus Christ. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. If it is the Spirit's purpose to glorify Christ in revelation, how could it be any less our purpose to glorify Christ in proclamation? It is the witness of the Holy Spirit that ultimately testifies to the truthfulness of Scripture. Through the coherent unity, scientific accuracy, historical variability, and fulfilled prophecy of the Bible, altogether mark it as unique and divinely inspired of God. In the end, only the Holy Spirit can convince lost sinners of its divine inspiration. The Spirit, therefore, testifies to the truthfulness of Scripture in the hearts of men. Just as in regeneration, salvation, the Spirit must work in people's lives for them to change their views of both the Bible, the written word, and Jesus Christ, the incarnate word. The sovereign work in the heart and mind convinces men and women that the Bible is from God, that all its words are reliable, and that its message about Jesus Christ is indeed the good news of salvation. The true believer loves the Word of God and believes it because of the work of the Spirit in their heart. The work evidences, confirms, and validates that the Bible is truly a divine gift from God, the God of glory who dwells outside of time and speaks to us through prophecy, telling us the end from the beginning and confirming that the Holy Scriptures are indeed the divinely inspired Word of God to mankind." Absolutely. The main ministry of the Holy Spirit in the believer's lives is to draw us closer and closer to Jesus every day so we become more like him. 2 Corinthians 3:18, this is from the Amplified Bible. "And all of us with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image, in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Yes, God transforms our lives, guys. It is amazing what God... Where we are today should be farther along than we was a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. We should be growing in our walk with the Lord. What did John say? "Lord, less of me, more of you," right? And that's what our heart's desire is. We want people to see Jesus in us, not to see us. And primarily God speaks to us through his word. I'll give you an example. You know, I realize, you know, Paul said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Mean Leviticus too? Yeah, Leviticus. God speaks to us even through Leviticus. In Genesis, we've been going through Genesis. I'll give you one example to show you how rich the scriptures are. I'll share with you from Genesis 5, the genealogies of Adam onward to Noah. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, genealogies, man, that's going to be great. But I'll share what their name is, what it means, and then I will put it into a sentence for you. Adam equals man. Seth, approved. Enos or Enosh, subject to death. Canaan, sorrowful. Mahaliel, from the presence of God. Jared, one comes down. Enoch, dedicated. Methuselah, dying, he shall send. Lamech, to the poor and lonely. Noah, rest or comfort. And this is in the Old Testament now. We have the gospel message. Let me show you. The man approved to death, sorrowful. From the presence of God, one comes down dedicated. Dying, he shall send to the poor and lonely, rest and comfort. Wow. God's word is so rich and deep, guys. We can never exhaust everything from it. All scripture is profitable to us today. And I think it's so important today because we are being bombarded with so much information that we spend time each and every day in the Word of God, hearing what God has to say. Does God still speak to us today? Absolutely, but not new doctrine. I mean, I know there's a lot of groups out there, they have new doctrine, new teachings of Jesus. Not at all, but He speaks to us, He guides us. When God called me to Wisconsin, He spoke to me. Now, I didn't hear this audible voice, but I knew it was the voice of God. I don't know how that works. I don't understand it at all. But I clearly knew God was saying that He was one day going to bring me to Wisconsin to be a pastor of a church there. And He didn't tell me where. I knew when I had to confront one of my elders. I was on vacation and all of a sudden God said, you need to ask your elders, will they support you in the work of ministry? Because I just had asked them if they wanted to remain on as elders. And I thought, oh, come on. I knew there wasn't, it was something was going on. And I'm like, all right, God, does He speak like that every day to me? No, but He speaks to me every day through His word. And He does guide me and He does direct me and He encourages me and corrects me, all those things that I need. And yeah, there's so much to learn, right? Just like with the disciples. But we have the Holy Spirit that teaches us truth. And He's going to glorify Christ. And that's my prayer. Lord, as You teach me Your truths from Your word, help me to glorify Jesus in all that I do and all that I say. I think, guys, we're living in a day where we're so busy and we try to, I guess with the technology, we have to have things going, noise, messages, songs, something going all the time. That's something that I'm really working on because I'm always fiddling with something. Always, my mind is always occupied with something. And it's like, slow down, stop, and listen to what the Lord is saying. Don't be so have so much noise that you can't hear. Do you realize right now there is music playing throughout this building? There's also a news show going on here. There's sports shows being aired right through here. All kinds of different music, all kinds of different things. Can't you hear it? Why? Because you don't have a receiver tuned in. You know what our receiver is to hear the Holy Spirit, to hear what God is saying? Or what our tuner is to hear God is the Holy Spirit through His Word. We have to be tuned into that. And get rid of all that other noise and listen to what God is saying. Because, again, we are here to bring glory to our Lord, to shine for Him, to let people see Jesus in us. And the only way that's going to happen is as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You did not leave us here all alone. Now, You sent Your Spirit to be with us, to teach us Your truths that are found in Your Word. And we're so thankful for that, Lord, because there is so much garbage out there today. We don't know what's true and what's false anymore. But one thing we know for certain is Your Word is truth. You said in John 17:17, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Thank you, Lord, for that, that we can trust it from Genesis to Revelation. And Lord, I just pray that it's not just words we read, but these words are brought to life and they transform us, make us into people that are more like you, Lord, with your love, compassion for people. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. And Lord, use us for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.